Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning is Mark chapter 8, the first few verses. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says something that just blows Peter's mind. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, Jesus did, and Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." This is the word of the Lord. May we pray. Great God, open us to your word and help us to hear it, to be healed by it, and to share it in the world. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. During these days of Lent, we are particularly mindful of what it means to be a disciple. Sure, we're always thinking about this. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? But during the fall, and especially during Advent, we're getting ready for a birth, and it's a real celebration. And we think of discipleship with that in our immediate future. We're just so excited, and we understand births and babies and diapers and vulnerability. But as we make our way to Easter, there's less we understand. And Jesus becomes less like us. Oh, he's human like us without sin. But we know at Easter he becomes glorified. He is dead, rises again from the dead, and reigns with God in power. And that's a Jesus we don't know. We don't know about. We can't resonate with exactly. It's different. And so as we make our way to Easter, to the Holy Week before, to the Last Supper, to the betrayal, to the trial, to the crucifixion, to that death, we are not sure what it means to be a disciple of this Jesus. We know what it's like to cuddle a baby. We know what it's like to cry tears of great relief and joy. But we know less about what it's like for a mother to hold her child dead in her arms. And I'm thinking of Mary the Pietà. This is a heavy season towards which we are heading, and it gets heavier. And so as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, we wonder, do we want to go with him or not? Maybe we want to stay in our recliner. So we ponder during the season of Lent what it means to be a disciple, to walk with Jesus. Many of us are familiar with the season of Lent as a time to give something up. We forego something. We give something up like chocolate or steak or Brussels sprouts or television. We give something up that we love in order to be mindful, particularly mindful of the one who loves us without exception. We sacrifice something, a small thing, and remember the one who has sacrificed a big thing. What I'd really like now is a piece of chocolate. Nope, I've given that up for Lent. It's not the chocolate we're thinking about. It's the reminder, oh, I've given that up for a while. It's the reminder to focus on the one who walked with us and who walks with us and who gave up much for us. So we're familiar with the practice of giving something up. But there's also the practice of taking something up. That is doing something different or doing something more or finding another way to serve. Giving more of our money away and thinking about where it goes and following it to the center, to the charity, getting to know the charity better, the benevolent act. We take something up when we give more or pray more. When we're taking something up, we're finding a discipline of quietude. That's taking something up that's new. Liz Caldwell, who wrote our study book for the Sunday school class that we're studying now, she takes up the discipline of letter writing and reestablishing contact with people she loves that she's gotten out of contact with over the year. She writes them notes, she calls them up, she Zooms. It's a daily discipline. A lot of the other disciplines she couldn't do. She couldn't change her prayer life, but she could call her friends. And that circle of friends widened, and she reestablished contact. Every day she calls somebody new. It's the art or the practice of taking something up. Giving something up can make room for our taking something up. And both are fine disciplines. Both are fine disciplines meant to deepen our walk with Jesus and help us to answer the question, what does it mean for me to be a disciple of Jesus the Christ? But here's a warning. Whether we take something up this Lent or not, whether we give something up or not, whatever spiritual disciplines we try, the world will not cooperate. The world is not interested in us slowing down or deepening our walk. The world is not interested in us being more self-aware and mindful. The world is all about distraction. And if we are attentive, then we are counterculture. And the world will do everything in its power to destroy that urge in us to slow down and to be attentive. Our culture is mindlessly busy, busy, busy. And our culture wants to suck us up into that mindfulness. And the way it looks is create a longer to-do list. Make it more impossible to breathe. Never stop to smell the roses. Stay tired. Stay busy. Tell people, I can't fit that in. I'm too busy. Make that your idol. Worship it. Kneel down to it. You're too busy to serve. You're too busy to reach out. You're too busy to slow down. You're too busy to pause. You're too busy to do the right thing. I'm too busy. We must accomplish much. We must achieve much. We are worth only what we do and not who we are. Now, that's not true, of course, but that's what the world teaches. You are worth only what you have parked in your garage. You are worth only what your family is like. You're worth only your job, your career, your achievement. So the world says, don't stop to smell the roses. The world tells me, don't stop to smell the Easter lilies, because I'm allergic to those, but I do look at them from afar. The world says, fail to notice how the daylight is getting a little longer. It's coming a little earlier. It's lasting a little longer. Fail to notice that. Don't notice. Don't notice that dove is back and he is bringing twigs to the top of your light, your outdoor light on your porch. He's making a nest. She's making a nest. Don't pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to the fact that soon you're going to have down in that nest, and you're going to have eggs in that nest, and you're going to have a friend keeping guard, looking down at the cats on your porch. You see it every time you go to the bathroom. Don't notice that. Don't notice the bathroom window right there, you know. Don't notice, because you're too busy. You've got things to do, places to go, stuff to accomplish. If you don't, you're really super worthless. Remember that to-do list? It's very long. That's what the world coaches us to do. But the season of Lent invites us, actually just simple discipleship, invites us to step back and to be a little attentive to the spiritual life, to the things going on around us. I dare you to take pause. I dare you. I dare you to study. I dare you to dream. I dare you to pray. You know your life will change. And we know we don't want that. So it can be simple. You can walk to your mailbox and you can put your hand on your mailbox and you can orient to the sun and you can close your eyes and you can lift your head. Or if it's misting or raining, or if it's night and the moon is out, you can stand there soaking it in. Your neighbors will be leaning against the glass, wondering, should I call somebody? Is my neighbor having a mini stroke by the mailbox? But if we play our cards right, the steps to that mailbox, just for that pause, could be a long, long spiritual journey, and you might cover lots of ground. Mary Oliver talks about attentiveness. And she writes this. And that's Olivia. Olivia doesn't want to be attentive. She wants us to focus on her. She wants to be fed, or she wants to be played with, or she's tired of listening to me. I'm not sure. Mary Oliver says, 10 times a day, something happens to me like this. Some strengthening throb of amazement. Some good, sweet, empathic ping and swell. This is the first, the wildest, and the wisest thing I know, that the soul exists and is built entirely out of attentiveness. This is the first, the wildest, and wisest thing I know, that the soul exists and is built entirely out of attentiveness. Poor Peter. He's just like us. He's busy. He's protective. He doesn't want change. He wants to keep things normal. He's not sure what normal is with this new friend he has named Jesus. But Peter is guilty of getting caught up in the ways of the world. When Jesus talks about his suffering, naturally Peter wants to protect him. No, Jesus, no. You got it wrong. This is not something you should be talking about. That's crazy talk. Peter does not want his friend to talk about sacrifice. But Jesus is talking about the bigger picture, isn't he? He's talking about a spiritual life. He's talking about some big work, vocation that God has called him to do. Jesus is talking about an attentiveness to something wider than just his small group of friends. And Peter is only interested, on the other hand, just in the small group of friends, just his small part of the world, just his life, just his friendship. Jesus is talking about bigger things. And Peter is stuck in the traffic of now to really hear Jesus in the first place. look, Jesus, I got places to go. I got things to do. We got a lot to do. You're a busy guy. I'm kind of helping you with your schedule. And, you know, it bogs us down. It hurts the organization for you to be talking like this. You need to be positive, brother. You need to accentuate the positive. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan, for you're focused on worldly things. And I'm trying to talk about something that's bigger and broader and holier. What Peter is saying, or what Jesus is saying, is come with me, Peter. Join the movement. Be with me, not against me. Don't stand in the way of this journey, but join it. Come along, brother. But Peter was missing Jesus' whole point. And Jesus' point, we know from the Gospels, is a point we often don't share. It's a point we often feel is a little too radical for us. Thank you very much. I don't want to do that. I'd like to be religious, but not that religious. But Jesus is about focusing on God, about listening for God in the hush of life. Jesus is about caring for oneself, but not to the point that your whole self is everything. That's idolatry. Jesus is about caring for your neighbor, being mindful of your neighbor. Go deeper in the study of Scripture. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't accept other people's Sunday school answers as your own answers. Do the work and come up with your own answers, your own ideas. Talk with people. Study with smart people, with wise people. Pray deeply and often. Make space for the calm. It's not going to come and swoop you up. You got to make space for it. Think of others before you think of yourself. Slow down. Look around. Go get the mail and take 30 minutes doing it. Seek justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Peter was missing the point. During the season of Lent, we try, maybe more this season than any other season, we try to take a step back and just wonder, what does it mean for me to be a disciple of this Jesus? How might I better walk this walk? And how am I like Peter? How am I missing the point? Because surely I am, often. How can I be steady and center myself and ask the Spirit to open me? And how can I be attentive and listen? We have much to learn. It's really a wonderful journey. That saying, two steps forward, one step back, we talk about that being a bad thing. It's probably not a bad thing. It's good. We're moving backwards or forwards. We're getting there. God is with us. It's a journey that deserves our attention, our hearts, doesn't it? Doesn't it? This morning, I'd like to introduce you to some people as they think about their own journey. They are your sons and your daughters and your grandkids. Secretly, they are your spouse. This is the part of your spouse you don't know. They're on a journey, and I'd like you to hear their journey. Joe and Rachel will share a word sort of in litany form or even prayer form that will be this: thank you for hearing us, O God. To which you're invited to say, Alleluia. Thank you for hearing us, O God. Alleluia. Thank you for hearing us, O God. Alleluia. Thank you for hearing us, O God. Alleluia. Thank you for hearing us, O God.
Alleluia. Jesus invites us to walk with him through the valley, bearing light and love to all we meet.
God is with us on the low road and on the high.
Jesus invites us to the mountaintop where the view allows a glimpse of eternity.
God is with us on the high road and on the low.
As we make our Lenten way to Jerusalem, to an upper room, to a garden, and to a cross, may we thank God for the saints with whom we share this holy journey.
Make us grateful, holy God, for you are God with us, Emmanuel.
I am a 70-year-old man. My wife died in a car accident 5 years ago. I'm still numb. I miss her. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. I'm a 15-year-old girl. I have 3 boys in my class, 3, who say they love me. I hardly know what love is, and I don't feel love. I feel pressure. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Encourage us in the valley, O God, that we might share your glory.
Church bores me still. Scripture has absolutely no relevance in my life. It sounds like yada, yada, yada. Even when I listen, I don't get it. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Encourage us in the valley, O God, that we might share your glory.
I'm 7 years old, and I love church. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Help us up the mountain, O God, that we might see your glory.
I'm in college, home for the weekend. I've got lots of questions. I'm looking for clarity. I've got questions about life, like, why do bad things happen to good people? And I've got questions about what I ought to do with my major, a job, and general direction. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Hallelujah. Encourage us in the valley, O God, that we might share your glory.
If I live to be 86, I'm exactly in the middle of my life. I'm 43. 43! I'm in the middle of raising 2 sons and 2 daughters. Sometimes I wonder if I'm going to run out of steam. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia.
Help us up the mountain, O God, that we might see your glory.
I'm 16, and I believe that sunsets and Holy Communion and a million other things are miracles. As my grandmother was dying, I held her hand, or was she holding my hand? It was so beautiful. I am not afraid of the future. I'm eager to use my life helping others in the way Jesus did. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Help us up the mountain, O God, that we might see your glory.
I spent a week last summer in Montreat at the youth conferences. It was a mountaintop experience. When I hear about Jesus on the mountain and read about his face shining white like a sun, I believe it. I've seen it myself right at the top of Lookout Mountain, soaking up the sun and wind and holy awe. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Help us up the mountain, O God, that we might see your glory.
I'm 50. And I feel a lot of pressures about my family. My kids expect so much out of me. I drive them everywhere. They think I'm a taxi driver. They think I'm made of money. I'm a little afraid for their future. Will they cave into peer pressure and do foolish things that they know they shouldn't? I wonder if I've done a good job as a parent. I wonder if I've expected too much or too little. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Hallelujah. I'm 80. I have metal knees and a titanium hip ball. And when I go through the metal detector at the airport, it rings like a handbell choir. Life is a trip. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Help us up the mountain, O God, that we might see your glory. I'm 6, and I look up to the big kids in church. I'm not sure they notice me, though. I wish they'd say hi every now and then. They're so cool. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. I'm always so busy in my life. I feel like I'm in the spin cycle of a washing machine. I'm always a little dizzy. I'm working so hard to make a living that I wonder if I'm spending enough time actually living. Know what I mean? Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. I'm a junior in high school. I feel so much pressure to do well in school, in church, in life. Give me just one break. I need to breathe. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Hallelujah. God is with us on the low road and on the high. Hallelujah.
Jesus invites us to the mountaintop, where the view allows a glimpse of eternity.
God is with us on the high road and on the low. Hallelujah. Thank you for hearing us, O holy God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.